Husey and Kate catch up.
It is Husey and Kate driving you home from two different countries.
Yeah, well, it's one world, Jack.
It is. Like,
you're originally from England, so we don't give you a hard time about that. So with really? Kate Langbrook, whose mother was born in Jamaica and his father was Was she born in New York?
To a Jamaican mother.
Oh, yeah, right,
to a Jamaican mother,
right,
yes.
So you're right. So she's half Jamaican, half American. What was her dad?
Not quite, but...
What was your grandfather?
Jewish. He was Jewish.
Yeah, right.
A New York Jew. Yeah. Leo Weissman.
So you're...
But he left when she was little.
All right, whatever. It's a melting pot, is what we're saying. And if Kate Langbrook wants to take her family to Bologna, which I have just Google mapped for the first time, which is not even really in the boot, Kate. Bologna is above the boot.
It's in the... I think if Italy's an above the knee boot, isn't it?
It's a long boot, but
it's a CFM boot.
I reckon you might be poking out of the above the. I reckon Bologna's right on the knee.
I think above the knee.
I don't think it's above the knee. Anyway,
I think it is.
If people want to Google map Bologna, they'll know what we're talking about. But don't do it while you're driving. Anyway, that's where you are now. So you're there.
Yes, that's where I am now. And look at us together.
Having a great time. You're not getting
There's so much to discuss.
Are you getting a cold or I feel like
no.
You're...
No. I may be. It was 1 degree.
We know you've been day drinking over the last few days. Have you continued to day drink?
I had to tighten up yesterday and confine myself to night drinking like a normal person.
Yeah, but you are not a big drinker. You're not going to turn into an alcoholic in Italy, are you?
Well, it's very hard because there's only two choices.
What is it?
Coffees, which Italians just chug down, like they pull in like to a refueling station and have an espresso.
So they drink it black, yeah, only a little black.
Yeah, and they just chuck them down.
So there's either that or
there's
wine.
There's only that or alcohol. Let's get a little day drunk, party
with that shades on, play a bunch. Can I ask, is there water in the taps and can you drink the tap water where you are?
Yes. We have been drinking the tap water.
Well, there's three choices. There's three choices.
As nice.
But nice enough to drink.
It doesn't taste as nice.
Well, I still
think... And the studio that I'm doing the show from doesn't really have a little kitchen. It's just got the toilet, and I'm not quite up to filling my water bottle up from the toilet yet.
But there's a sink in the toilet area.
Oh, yeah, there's a sink.
So I reckon you could fill your water bottle up in that
Italians,
sink. Every
bathroom that you go into has got two... They've got the bidet...
Oh,
I love a
bidet.
Yeah, so does Peter normally, but this is not like the one that shoots the jet.
The bidets in Japan, I don't want to sound, like too jet setting, but the bidets in Japan are to die for. Especially when the ones they are, and when they've got the heat as well, when they blow the hot air up your bum, that's amazing. Well worth the ticket to Japan for that. Mm.
All the controllers on them, the Japanese ones, but this just seems to be like...
It's a hose.
It's just got a normal tap on it. No, it's not a hose. It just seems to be like you fill up a little bath for your bot.
So you have to wash
it
yourself.
It's just got a normal... I don't know what happens. I asked my husband because he's also partial to a bidet.
Oh, you're right. So you feel like it's like an arse sink. So you fill up the sink. Maybe it is. Maybe it is.
And then you just lower your buttocks into it. Yeah. But I asked Peter, but he was like... I don't know how to use it. And it's a very hard thing to ask for instructions. Excuse me. Can you tell me how to wash it?
I might think you're wanting something else. Hey, when we come back, we're at the Australian Open final the other night, me and my wife, and we got a text
message. A rare night out, I'm going to say.
We got a text message that, look, I won't say it infuriated me, but because my wife doesn't want me to say that, but I'll explain it when we come back, all right? So,
can't wait.
What could be in that message?
The Husey and Kate catch up.
Welcome.
Yes, and now Australian Open was run and won on Sunday night for the men, Saturday night for the women. Sunday night I went, so I was lucky enough to get a ticket with my wife. It was a date night, Katie, Australian Open final. You know, pretty exciting.
Very un- unusual for you two to have a date night. They're rare, aren't they?
Well, it's hard to get my wife to agree to come out with me, so it's just disappointing.
But perhaps that's normally because when you have date nights, they seem to be according to your interests and hobbies.
No, I actually asked her. We went to a music. We go to musicals occasionally, so it's not just it's not just that. So so we're sitting there. It's bloody exciting. It's the Australian Open final. We're in the front row. I'm not going to lie. We're right there. Like, I'm touching distance. She loves Nadal, and she was like, she could have almost reached out and grabbed his buns, you know, and he has great buns, Rafael Nadal, according to my wife. Great, you know what I'm talking about there? His buttocks.
What was she talking about? Yes. She's what was she talking about? His
she
bottom?
Has over the years. She's always talked about his buttocks. I mean, not always,
well,
but
I must say you pride yourself on your buttocks.
I think part of the reason that she's with me is that my buttocks remind her of Rafael Nadal's buttocks. So there she is.
You do have a fine rump.
Yes, thank you.
Now, that's why you're a good runner, because the power comes from the rump.
The story's not about my rump. It's about Rafael Nadal's rump and her being so close to his rump. And so we're enjoying ourselves. This is how exciting. This is Leighton Hewitt on the coverage talking about number one, number two playing in the world. Is we listen to Leighton.
Oh, yes.
You can feel the buzz walking around Melbourne Park tonight. This is the match that everyone's been hoping for the last 2 weeks as well.
Yeah, so we're in.
He doesn't sound very buzzed, actually, does he?
Well, Leighton is. He's just buzzed.
No, he doesn't sound buzzed.
Well, he's not playing. Buzz, he's been out there himself.
Leighton doesn't seem to feel the buzz.
He's been out there himself. He knows what it's like. He wishes he was out there. So he's probably envious of these two. He used to play against them. So, anyway, so we're sitting there, front row. We've got Rachel Griffiths next to us, the Hollywood actor. I see bloody Mark Webber, the Formula One guy. He's just across the way. Eric Banner's there. You've got
a bit of name dropping.
We didn't talk to any of them. No, we talked to Rachel. But Rose Byrne was there with her man. Remember his name?
Oh, I love Rose Byrne.
And what's his
name? Bobby Cannavale.
Yes,
love him.
It's all happening.
Love him.
And then my wife turns to me and says, "I've got a text message." I said, "What? So phone shouldn't even be on." You know what? This is what the message says. Sadie's upset with sore tummy. Wants mummy what to do. What to do? I said,
what?
Yeah, so the message is from her mother, who is, we're very grateful that they're looking after our children. They're having them the whole night, the three of them. So we're very grateful.
Sleepover.
And they do a great job. They look after the dogs when we go away. They're great. But that message.
Don't know that that's a great job, to be honest.
It's
sore tummy.
So what? That's the message you get. What to do? I'm like, what to do? I said, just ignore the message. You didn't see. I've seen the message.
Yes.
She knows I've seen the message. Well, you know what I wanted her to send back? So, the number for an ambulance. So if it gets to it, you ring 000 and they deal with it. We're not medical professionals. There's nothing we can do for the sore tummy. So,
All right.
I thought that's a bit much.
I think that's... I agree with you, actually, because nothing's more annoying than when you have a babysitter, which is a precious and often expensive thing to do. I'm assuming that your beloved mother-in-law's not charging
you. No, she isn't, which
is
great.
That's a gift of love.
Yeah, absolutely.
But when you get a message about a frivolous... That's frivolous.
Well, I'm not here to say...
tummy.
No, I can't say that's frivolous because
what happened? Is she in hospital?
No, the messages go on.
Did she go to hospital? Give me more.
Raf, her older brother, said possibly she ate too much.
What are these messages you're getting while you're having your precious night out?
Well, we're at the front row at the Australian Open. The final message, which was great, this was the message we needed to hear.
Yeah.
So my wife didn't leave the Australian Open because she was considering it. This is the message that made us feel good. Dad has found a miraculous cure for sore tummies. Charades. So charades.
Oh, he should be a doctor.
Imagine if she had a left and then you get there and they're playing charades. So,
So it's very common that when parents are out, I think, that the kids will be like exercising their muscle to get you back home.
Mm. Have you ever responded to a call from a babysitter in your whole life?
What are you talking about?
No, I'm saying that
you're an awful person. No, I don't. No, I don't respond.
You don't respond.
Yeah, no. My eldest son had leukemia. Oh, no, we didn't respond.
Well, obviously you
responded. No, we just sent the message 000 for the ambulance.
with you.
What? You're a bad person.
Well, don't bring that up.
That's, yes, but that you have to gauge when it's worthy as a babysitter when you know you're giving someone the gift of a night out. Well, you also gauge when you send a message. You don't send a message saying someone's got a tummy ache and ruin someone's pleasure in the front row.
It wasn't ruined, right? So don't over-egg the pudding here. So,
but you said your wife.
No, well, just, I need you to back off because they do a great job of babysitting, right? So I don't need you bringing your attitude to this conversation.
You know I respect the mother-in-law.
Yes.
But I do think this was a classic Colmer move.
No, there's a good power play in your family with your mother-in-law. No, that's not true. No, okay. No, she does a great job.
Isn't it?
Yes, she does a great job.
Yeah, she does a great job. Who, no doubt.
Who has ignored a message from a babysitter?
131060.
Okay. Did you ignore a message?
Well, what I'd really like to know is who's received the most frivolous request for attention on their precious day or night out weekend away. What has a babysitter sent your message about that is just so really not necessary?
Mm. All right.
But just to interrupt your happiness.
131060 frivolous messages from babysitters. That's what we want to know about. 131060.
Not that this was one of them. My example wasn't one of them.
Hughesy and Kate Catcher.
Want to know when you've been out and about on a night out and you got a frivolous text message from your babysitter?
Well, not necessarily frivolous. This is an open conversation. It started because me and my wife at the Australian Open final Sunday night watching Nadal and Djokovic. We get a text message. Sadie has an upset
tummy. From your mother-in-law?
Sadie has an upset tummy. What to do? And I said...
You said sore tummy.
Sore tummy.
Before.
Yeah, it was sore tummy. And the sore was sore in tummy. Inverted commas. So that was... I think that lessened it a bit. And I said to my wife, tell her the ambulance number if necessary. Otherwise, let's just watch this great tennis match. And it wasn't a great match anyway.
But it caused your wife some anxiety.
Absolutely. Yes, it did. But then apparently charades solved the problem, which was good news. Now, that wasn't...
And we were saying nothing's more of an impediment to your happiness when you're on your precious night out than when you get a message from the babysitter. Yes. Now, sometimes it's warranted and sometimes it seems to be frivolous.
Well, Matthew, what was your story?
We had gone down to Witches in Britches in Melbourne when we live in Bendigo.
Yeah.
And we'd left...
Oh, theatre restaurant.
So that's a drive of, like, that's a two-hour drive, really, or an hour and a half, 2 hours. Yep.
And we got a message from our 16-year-old babysitter saying that one of our twins was out on the back deck and he'd gotten a splinter.
Oh, a splinter. Like, was it a... Like, he hadn't been impaled on some sort of long spear, just a tiny splinter in a hand or a finger or something?
Yeah, in his finger off our deck out the back.
And you were meant to drive back, and you're having a great time at Witches and Britches, which I believe has since closed down. But maybe it's still open. I don't know. It actually might still be open. But, ridiculous. What did you say to them?
Oh, my wife took the call, and she's just like, well, if you've got a splinter, if you can't get it out, leave it, and we'll get it out in the morning when we get back.
Yeah, you're not going to get
You're
going to get septicemia, are you? You're unlikely to have to amputate after a small splinter.
Why would you throw that into the mix?
Because I just think it's unlikely. I mean, that's what the babysitter
said. It is unlikely. However, you know what's happened? People have turned this on our head, Hughesy. We're getting calls from babysitters who have had parents who have ignored their calls.
Is that right, Kate?
And they've been calling about genuine things.
Yeah, that is right.
What's your story?
So I was looking after a girl and boy. I think they were 8 and 11 at the time. Mum told me that the kids had been a little bit unwell that afternoon, but she thought they were fine. She was heading out to an important business meeting. We watched a movie. The daughter was quite sulky, put her to bed, and I hear her screaming that she's going to vomit. So I race out with a bucket, catch the vomit, decide to just kind of downplay it because I knew they'd had a busy day, let it go. Didn't know what to do with the vomit, so being a bit young and stupid, so I put it in the laundry sink.
Yep.
And then proceeded to turn the hot water on it, which then made me vomit and bring my mother. The kid continued to vomit, and so I realised that it was a little bit more than an upset tummy. And so I sent a few texts, rang a few times, got a text message back to say that, you know, surely that'd be okay. And I was like, no, I think it's gastro. 4 hours later, I got quite cross and decided to ring the restaurant that I thankfully knew she was at, and think about half an hour later, the mum came home.
She shamed them. You rang the restaurant and said, there's a woman, there's a bad mother dining at your establishment. Can you get her out of there? So that's, that's a bit much.
You know what? I believe that's a case of, I think the mum probably knew the kid had gastro and was like, I'm going to pay someone to take this off.
Yeah,
you know,
it sounds definitely like that was it.
Yes, Kelly,
was this about your mum?
Yeah, it is. So our daughter was about 8 months old and mum was giving us the night off. She had been quite sick for the first 8 months, going in and out of hospital with bronchiolitis. And mum gave us the night off. We went out and she was showing signs again of maybe the bronch coming back. So mum took her to hospital, didn't tell us. Took us up there, waited with her, got all her obs done. They said she was okay. She didn't need to stay and be monitored. So they let her go home and she told us the next day. So, right, she didn't want to ruin our night out.
That's Mother of the Year, isn't it? I think that's Grandmother of the Century.
She's pretty amazing.
So you were happier that Mum did that. You didn't go, Mum, you should have told us. You were just like, thanks, Mum.
No, because I needed the night off so bad.
Boom.
I really
yes.
Boom.
Yes.
As bad as that sounds, but I have friends that were quite offended by it and thought you should have been told.
You've got the Hughie and Kate's seal of approval.
That's a lovely gift, especially if your mum's across, obviously, what was up with your daughter.
Yeah. Now, Alyssa, you're a paramedic. Is that right, Alyssa?
Hi, guys. Hi. Yeah, that's right. So basically, very similar situation, got called to a little girl complaining of pain. You know, get there and she's on the ground. And then once we get there and she sees that we're there, she gets up straight away, starts playing with us. Mum comes rushing in, all frantic, and the child's all happy because mum's home now.
And so who called you, Alyssa?
The grandma, actually, as well.
So the grandmother
called an ambulance.
But hadn't called the mother, is that right?
Had called the mother as well. So we obviously got there before mum.
At the same time.
So
she'd absolutely overreacted is what we're saying.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Lucy and Kate catch up. It's Wednesday.
Hi, I'm Christian.
No way, my name's Christian too. What a coincidence.
It's Coincidental Wednesday.
Yeah, we love Coincidental Wednesday. Any coincidence, great or small, what's the number?
131060 for your coincidences. Give us a call right now.
Now, last week,
a coincidence, as we like to say on this show, are the little gemstones that are sprinkled along your path in life just to give you a little buck up, just for the sheer beauty of them.
Yep. So we've been following one involving Oliphant, the name Oliphant, because I recommended a book on Hughie's book review book club.
Mm-hmm.
Eleanor Oliphant is completely fine. You had messages about that when you were away, I think in India, weren't you? Is that right?
What do you mean messages?
No, it's somehow it came up. I don't know what.
Oh, you didn't listen to my most brilliant coincidence that I brought back with you last week.
Yeah, I know. You put the book off a shelf, the only book in English.
Yes.
And in the book
was
the name. Yes. Well, actually, this is what you said it was in the book.
My name's Derek. Derek Oliphant. Yeah, all right.
There was more to it.
In a book, there was, because the whole chapter that I was reading in this book, Kate Atkinson, Life After Life.
Yes.
This chapter reminded me of Eleanor Oliphant.
Oh, that's right.
I was actually thinking, this is like Eleanor Oliphant, and then at the end of the chapter where she's drinking too much, she falls over, she gets a blood nose, she's rescued by a guy, Derek Oliphant. What are the odds? I've never encountered one Oliphant.
Yeah, I've never even heard the word Oliphant before we started talking about it. So
that was
last Wednesday, Katie. On Friday, I'm reading a different book. You know, it was on the history of jihad.
He's a reader.
Light reading, the history of jihad. Anyway, and in that, there's some battle from, you know, the 8th century or something, I don't know, many years ago. And this sentence comes up. One of the leaders, Roland has an Oliphant, a horn made of an elephant's tusk. That's what an Oliphant is.
It's Coincidental Wednesday.
I did not know that an Oliphant was a real thing.
It's a horn made of an elephant's tusk. That's an Oliphant. And Roland got a big blow on it.
What role was that doing, playing in jihad?
Well, it was in part of a battle, and he blew his Oliphant, I don't know if it worked out for him, I don't know.
All right, 13, 10, 60, big or small, we don't care. We just want your coincidences.
Yes.
13, 10, 60.
The Husey and Kate catch up. Back in just a bit. They won't be too long, promise. The Husey and Kate catch up.
Coincidental Wednesday.
Hi, I'm Christian.
No way, my name's Christian too. What a coincidence.
Yeah, we love them. We don't judge them. We just
love them.
Enjoy them.
Now, you do. You have been known to give them a rating out of 10.
No, I don't. That was Jack's.
I got zero.
Yeah, but that was because we had a. He shouldn't have brought it to the table.
Well, he hasn't now. Well, look what you've done. You've crushed his coincidental spirit.
Have you got one for us,
he
Jack?
He hasn't brought
no,
one.
No, I'm afraid, mate. Sorry. Not one to your standards, probably.
No, well, it was a comical. I was judging it comically, and if he can't handle the heat, there's the kitchen door, mate. Out you go.
No. But so many people now, and the more you get attuned to them, the more you start to recognise and remember them.
Let's go, Steve. What do you got?
G'day, guys. How G'day. Are you?
Great, great. Yep. What do we got?
All right. So coincidental, what happened to me and my fiance was we were on our way to a menu tasting for our wedding.
Yep.
5 minutes away from that, I saw some smoke coming out of her car bonnet.
Yep.
So I decided to pull over, and it was on fire.
It's a worry.
So some lovely truck driver pulled over and helped us with the fire extinguisher.
Yep.
Meanwhile, my phone's gone bloody crazy.
Yep.
When it stopped ringing, so I'm just
keep talking into the phone now, mate. You sort of feel like you're not talking into the phone. So
My phone's ringing, so I'm just declining. I finally answered it, and it's a neighbour, and she's telling us that our house is up in flames as well.
What?
Same time as the car.
Yes, same time as the car.
What are the chances? And what started the house fire?
They still don't know. They reckon it was the fire. Is reckon it was one in a something million chance that. Water went through the roof tiles and hit the
range hood. It's incredible.
I'll tell you what's one in a billion chance that your car would be on fire with you in it and your house on fire at the same time.
Both insured, Steve?
Then we're about to go back. That after the tasting, we're going to go back there and move everything in because we just finished all the renos at the house.
But both insured. Did you have insurance?
No, we didn't have our contents
insured.
But anyway, how was the menu tasting for the wedding? How was the food?
Yeah, well, we haven't had the wedding yet. It's been postponed.
No.
But you're still together, though. You're still together.
Yeah, we're still together.
All right, good. Yeah. Well, if you can last through that, you're
probably they're each other's good luck charm.
Well, no, they're there for the troubled times and good times. And it's been troubled so far. Hannah, what's your story?
Hello. So I was watching a show on Netflix, a mystery show, and they were searching for a missing person, and her name was Eliska, and that's my middle name, Eliska.
Oh,
so they
Eliska.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Well, I've never heard the name Eliska.
No, well, my family tells me that it's like a Russian or a Czech. Chechen nickname for Elizabeth.
Good.
The family name. I don't know why.
I like it. Yep.
I like it too.
So, and then something else happened? Yep, happened?
So, when they found her, she was sharing a room with another missing girl and her name was Hannah.
name is Hannah.
That's right. So it's Hannah is that. But wait for it.
There's more. Yep.
Later in the show, so it's a mystery, and there were these numbers they thought were coordinates. They couldn't figure them out. The numbers were 1705, blah, 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 blah. And they went, wait, it's not coordinates. It's a date, 17th of May. Guess when my birthday is.
What the hell?
No.
That's 17th of May. I freaked out so much, and now I feel like I've given away a lot of details if people want to, like, try and hack me or something.
Oh, yeah, but we don't know.
Well, that doesn't matter. You're a missing person.
Yeah, you've only got
what
two.
What can they do?
Give me the date. You haven't given us your last name either. So, hey, have you ever gone missing yourself?
Not that I know of.
No, good. And nor should you ever. So hopefully. Definitely hopefully. Touch
wood. There's a blessing for you, Hannah.
No. But unless you want to go missing, some people want to go missing. Not happy with your life, find a new life, not let anyone know.
Don't mention Olivia Newton-John's ex-husband.
I'm not mentioning him.
Boyfriend?
No, what was his name?
I'll tell you what, though. it would be impossible to go on a holiday to Mexico and not have your eyes out for him.
Yeah, right. Is he still? Mm. Yeah, he's definitely. Oh, I don't know. I can't remember the story. I know that it was sad for her, which is. And if
well,
it's sad for
terrible.
Her, who she's an absolute icon of this country, didn't she just get honoured?
Yes.
I think she just got an honoured by the in the Order of Australia. Yeah, I think she did. Yeah, pretty sure. Her along
well,
with Kylie
amazing.
Minogue.
But also, you know what as well, aside from the anguish because this person you love has disappeared, it also doesn't play well because it doesn't look nice for you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. But it's
that your boyfriend's faked his own disappearance.
But you know what? Kylie Minogue does have a boyfriend, doesn't she? Kylie Minogue's
yes.
happily. Yeah, that's good.
Why would you mention her?
Because a lot of hers have, they haven't disappeared, but they have not hung around.
Hughie and Kate catch up.
Yes, driving you home this afternoon. It is Hughie and Kate.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Katie's live from Bologna, which is at the top of the boot. Top of the boot in Italy. And sounding great. Good to have you on board, Katie,
oh,
obviously.
So good.
Yep. Hey,
isn't it funny? You know, you meet people all the time who say, like, you met that lady who listens to our show all the time from Singapore.
Yes. Yep.
And someone said on Instagram, the world is so small now, isn't it?
Is.
Here it we are all together.
Yeah, that is right. And you did a great job on Hughie. We Have a Problem last night, actually.
Well done on back, that. And great ratings.
Yeah, all good. Back on Channel 10 on a Tuesday night, we're going to discuss Italian men. There was very funny scenes with you and the Italian chemist from the Hughie. We Have a Problem. It's being repeated nine.
Well, that was it.
Yeah, it was.
It was an embarrassing setup.
Involving, yes.
That you made me go into a chemist and you had decided what my malady was,
yeah,
which
your,
of course
your
involved the...
Downstairs department. So that's been repeated, actually, 9:30 on Thursday night on Channel 10, if you want to see that, if you missed it. Now, when we come back, though, another TV show which is getting some attention as it has over the last few seasons is Married at First Sight. And there was
irresistible.
One of the weddings on last night, Katie, involved a speech from the best man, which has disgusted a lot of the bride's family. And we're going to play some of the speech when we get back. And
even the groom looked, the groom was mortified.
Yeah, and the brother of the bride, actually, who has been everyone's saying how hot he is, he was completely disgusted. But I've got some...
The hot felon.
The hot guy, the hot brother. Mm. But I've just been on his Instagram and I've got some dirt on him, which I'm going to bring to the table. Not really dirt, but I've got, who he's been associating with. Well, it's all coming up.
Oh, I love it all.
All right, don't go anywhere.
The Hughie and Kate catch up.
This is Hughie and Kate coming to you live from two countries. Kate in Bologna at the moment. Hughie, of course.
Yes, see.
Yeah, but Kate is still across what is going on Australian television. Did a great job on Hughie, You Have a Problem last night, Channel 10, repeated 9:30 Thursday.
You.
But
Married, did you?
Yeah, thank you. Married at First Sight is back. A lot of their pretend weddings, but the drama is real, Katie. Drama is real.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of the weddings, a woman called Jessica with a K has married Mick, who's a country boy.
Also with a K.
Yeah, well, the end of Mick is a K. Yeah, no, you're right. It might not be. Sometimes it's just M-I-C.
No, never.
My brother Mick, he's M-I-C-K.
All Micks are M-I-C-K.
And he's not Mickey either. He's just Mick. So there's a big difference between a Mick and a Mickey. I believe.
A huge difference. Mm. I'd feel more confident marrying a Mick than I would a Mickey.
Mm, you think Mickey's more of a player, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and you know.
Oh, Mickey,
like,
you're so fine. Oh, Mickey.
Mm-hmm.
But Mick.
Or the mouse.
Yeah, well, I don't think we bring him into it. It's confusing. So,
anyway.
Best mate speech at Mickey.
They were quite happy with each other, weren't they?
Well, they look, she's very attractive and he's tall, dark and handsome. So, yeah, first appearances, they looked like they were, well matched. But the best mate, Broxy, Mick's best mate, did the speech and he put the cat amongst the pigeons, put a spanner in the works when he went a little bit too blue in his best man's speech. And it happens. I've seen it happen before. But he's talking about him and when him and Mick had a time together, they drank a lot of grog and then this went on.
We went up to Airlie Beach.
Don't listen, Chuck.
Just for a couple of drinks and we've drunk the whole bar dry. Just me and him. You know, we're having a good time. And Mick's going to me, I'm going to take some Viagra.
So he took the Viagra. The speech went on, and he talked about the fact that Mick couldn't find a lady to partake in any activities where the Viagra would be put to its full use.
Proxy.
And so they ended up back in their tents alone. And then this went on.
Well, they weren't in tents.
Or wherever they were. Didn't he pitch a tent?
He erected a tent around himself.
Oh, didn't he? I haven't got the whole story.
Yeah.
All right, well, let Proxy...
Are you in Italy?
Let Proxy say what happened.
And I'm asleep. I've woken up and I can hear some noises. Open me eyes. He's made himself a bloody tent over himself. And he's having a go.
Really?
Yeah, well, I thought they were camping. They weren't camping.
No. There was a tent pole.
They're in the same room. It's just wildly inappropriate, even if you... I mean, questionable behaviour, you know, in itself, but let alone to tell that story at a wedding, even a pretend wedding.
A wedding.
Even a pretend wedding where they want drama and they need ratings. It's still too much for
me. But they think it's a real wedding.
No, they don't. No one thinks it's a real wedding.
Oh, I think they do.
No one thinks it's a real wedding.
As soon as a girl puts on a white dress...
Katie, they don't
and turns up in an altar. There's a part of us. We're raised on make-believe.
I'll tell you what, her brother and her father are really angry. Her father was an ex-boxer, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, tats all over him. The brother...
Did he want to come out of retirement?
Yeah, well, he did want to come out of retirement. This is first, before we get to the brother, which bit's this?
The best man thought he did a great job.
Yeah, he did. Listen.
Probably not the best story to tell at a wedding, but...
I thought it was a bloody ripper.
I mean, self-praise is no recommendation, Broxy. That's all I'll say there.
Was that him talking about himself?
Yeah, he thought it was a ripper. Now, Broxy, this is Broxy talking to his the groom, Mick. You ever listen carefully?
No, this is the brother.
No, didn't we have the Broxy? We weren't going to play that bit. Oh, whatever.
This is the brother.
Whatever, this is the brother. This is the brother talking to... Who's he talking to?
He's just talking to the camera.
He's talking to the camera. He's talking to the camera.
The best man's speech. I thought it was disgusting. Why would you bring up Viagra? I don't want to think about you having sex with my sister. Obviously, I'm very protective, and from what I've seen from his best mate, I don't really think that highly of him at the moment.
So, I mean, and the thing is, Katie, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Australia has fallen in love with that guy, the protective brother, because he's attractive. He's got a handsome face.
Yeah, and also he's normal.
Well, is he normal, though?
Well, he's got tats all over him.
He's got tats all over him.
Well, that's normal.
He's got a neck tattoo which covers his whole neck, and his dad does as well, to be honest. So the whole family are full covered in tats. And you know what I found out? On his Instagram, the hot brother, who's now got, how many followers has he got now?
30-something thousand.
Yeah, his Instagram's blown up, full of hot photos of him. Hasn't had a piece of bread since 2006. Anyway, ripped, absolutely ripped. There's a video from 2 days ago with this brother, this respectful brother. Who's he with in the Instagram little video from 2 days ago? This guy.
Blonde hair, blue eyes, fit as f***.
Oh, no.
That guy from The Bachelorette.
Oh, Paddy.
Paddy. So he's mates with Paddy, and he's the one having to go with Broxy because of his Viagra story, you know? None of this is real.
Do you know, I don't think it's unusual. You know, sometimes you've got a friend and you go somewhere together and you meet new people together and sometimes you see your friend through the eyes of strangers. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've always been like, oh, I love this person. You know them really well. You don't see them with fresh eyes.
With Broxy.
Sometimes it happens. You have to rethink them.
Yeah, but then again, sometimes people just make bad calls. And that's what we're going to put the call out here as to what was said at a wedding, which was inappropriate.
Oh, I love this.
13, 10, 60. What happened at a wedding? What was said that was inappropriate? We want to know. 13, 10, 60.
I've got one of my best mates who's my accountant now. What he said at one of our friends' weddings was an absolute disgrace. I'll tell you that when
really?
We come back. Yeah, right. Paddo. What Paddo came up with during his speech. Shocking.
The Husey and Kate catch up. Back in just a bit. The Husey and Kate catch up.
We want to know what was said at a wedding that you find inappropriate after Married at First Sight. Oh.
Yeah, because Broxy, whose best mates are Mick, who's now pretend married to Jessica with a K, He really, he was inappropriate. Talking about Viagra and his and Mick
going for it. Together and
some room together.
Yeah, five times. Just not nice. In fact, it was disgusting.
Hot brother Reese.
Disgusting!
Hot brother Reese, he was really unhappy about it. So, but he'd
hot
be happy,
brother Reese.
But would be happy with the massive surge in his Instagram account. So that's...
Yes. What does it say on his shoulder, the hot brother, by the way?
I don't know. He's got,
he's got a lot of writing.
Very scary. Like his neck is like a demon. He's got a demon face.
I can't see the neck, but I want to know what he says on his shoulder.
His Instagram.
I've looked at it. That's why I want to know what it says.
Well, I'm looking at his Instagram and you can see his demon neck. Anyway, I don't know what it says, Katie, but I reckon if you're in your spare time this afternoon in Bologna, you could be all over it. Hey.
Now we're talking about things that have been said at weddings that are inappropriate, which is just such a great topic. And even at the time when you're sitting there, maybe you're, you know, at the wedding as a guest, you're like, OMG, I can't believe they're saying this. A part of you is still thrilled by it.
Well, my mate, and I probably shouldn't say his name because he's a respectful...
Your accountant.
Yeah, he's a respectful member of society now. But at one of our friends' weddings, I think it was Ronald's wedding, but yeah, I can't remember whose wedding it was. But
what was Ronald's nickname?
That was his nickname, Ronald. His last name's McDonald, so his nickname's Ronald.
Of course.
This
What's
other
his
guy,
real name? What's Ronald's real name?
Peter.
You don't even... Peter.
Yeah, Peter.
Okay,
McDonald.
Go on.
But I'm not even sure it was his wedding, but I'll say it was. And this other guy, my accountant, who I've already named, but I won't name him again, he pretended he was doing the best man speech. He said, we've got a telegram from someone else.
Oh, yeah, telegram.
But it wasn't really from that person. But this person said...
it's a joke telegram.
Yes, and he said, Peter and Kate, her name's Kate, I've got advice for you. And the advice was... Wedding is like snooker. So when the pink is covered by the white, pot the brown.
Disgusting.
And it went over like a lead balloon. The room was not happy.
Like it was like, you know, it was very big at Jehovah's Witness weddings.
Had to rethink
himself.
The fake telegrams.
Jehovah's Witness weddings, it would be like, may you have the patience of Job, the wisdom of Solomon, and the children of Israel.
Well, that would
And everyone would go, oh!
That would go over better than the old pot the brown.
Disgusting!
What happened?
Anyway, what's happened at a wedding?
All right, I think we'll start with Sam. What happened, Sam? What happened at the wedding?
Well, it was actually my wedding, and the best man gave his speech, and he told everyone about how in his younger years my husband did an American pie with a tomato.
Yeah, that's
disgusting.
The relatives didn't need to hear that, did they? And the imagery that it brings up of your husband with a tomato.
Terrible.
Yep. To see what level he was at, you know, he used to do and now what he was about to do that night.
Exactly.
Was there tomatoes on
it? Had you heard that story before, Sam?
I hadn't heard it. And the worst thing is that I was going to read over the speech. I saw it sitting there. And I was like, I should just have a look and proofread it. And I was like, And I didn't. And
Now, well, anyone can remember. And you worked so hard to make that the best wedding. And I'm sure you looked amazing.
That's all people remember, Sam.
Your husband and a tomato. And what he did to that
and
tomato.
And his nickname, Heinz.
I mean, is that legal? I suppose it is legal, isn't it? Vegetables have no rights.
What? Even
fruit / vegetables. Is a tomato or a vegetable? Would you call it a fruit or a vegetable? Tomato.
It's much debated.
And would
it's
it be
a berry,
worse
I think.
To do the American pie with a fruit or a vegetable in general? I suppose it doesn't matter, does it?
Disgusting!
Well, we'll go one more. Sean.
I don't know if ethics have addressed that.
Sean, who did... what's this? What are we talking about?
Well, it's the day of my wedding. We're in the middle of getting married. Beautiful service, everything. He missed the start, Sean, and at the priest, and turns around and said, can you hurry the F up?
The bride said that to
your
the
wife
priest.
To be.
Disgusting!
Yeah. The best part is the priest is a personal friend.
Yep.
So he didn't know whether to hurry the F up.
Yes.
Continue going until she politely said, like, can you hurry the F up?
Yeah.
I've had enough of this crap.
Well, she was very keen to marry you, Sean.
Are you still together?
Of course.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no, of course it's not really. I don't think of course is a reaction.
I think it is.
Does she swear in general? Has she always been a swearer, Sean?
No, not in general. But no,
just at wedding, her own wedding.
At the time, she couldn't have said it any better.
Yeah, so everyone applauded? Everyone
was
everyone's
was the priest?
Dropped.
Yeah, but was the priest taking
it wasn't a priest,
time.
It was a personal friend. Was he a priest or just a personal friend?
He's a priest.
An actual priest.
Yeah. Do you listen to anything that happens
yeah,
on the show?
I don't know. I've never met anyone who's friends with a priest. Not that
Sean said, and the worst thing was he was a personal friend.
Yeah, I know that, priest. But I thought maybe it was a celebrant. I didn't thought so, like a Catholic priest or a priest of some other religion.
Catholic priest. We still keep in contact with him. He's still a good personal friend.
Yeah, good.
Husey and Kate catcher.
It is Husey and Kate indeed.
Welcome to our show, the humble show. Just the two of us, just little vagabonds traveling the world with nothing but our wits to entertain the people.
And when we come back, Katie, who is speaking there, who's picked up an accent in her travels, has a brilliant story for us. Give us one word to describe the story coming up.
Unbelievable story.
Unbelievable.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
All right.
Unbelievable. Involving bears.
Unbelievable. Coming up next.
I like it.
The Husey and Kate catch up.
Miracles happen in the world, Husey.
Yeah, every day. Every day.
Yes, yes. But sometimes they're also mysteries, but they're such a beautiful story that you just have to believe it.
What do you got?
So in North Carolina in the States.
Yep. United States of America.
Correct. A little boy's been missing in the woods. 2 days he's been missing.
It's a long time to be missing.
3 years old.
His parents would be
it's
frantic.
Minus six degrees, Husey.
That's shocking.
He was playing with two other children in his grandmother's backyard.
Yeah.
And he went missing. He wasn't appropriately dressed to be out in the woods, -6 degrees for 2 days and two nights.
Couldn't survive, surely. It's winter.
Terrible. Winter. They found him. Listen to the media report.
After more than two nights lost in the freezing cold and heavy rain, Casey Hathaway was found alive overnight, less than a quarter of a mile from his home in rural eastern North Carolina, where he went missing Tuesday afternoon.
We brought Casey to his family just like we said we were going to do.
That's Craven County Sheriff Chip Hughes. Yeah, could it be more American?
Love a Hughes. Love that he's a Hughes.
Love
seems
it
like
that
a real
he's a Hughes.
Upright citizen.
And a Chip.
Yeah, and I love Chips. So.
His name's Chip.
They could call my
anyway,
name should be Chip Hughes. I should be Chip. If you want to call me Chip, start calling me Chip.
I don't think so.
Maybe it'd be cool. You want to call me Chip?
I don't think so, Chip. Anyway.
Chip
so
and Katie. Chip and Kate and
the mystery
afternoons.
The Chip and Katie show.
Mm.
Oh, I love it. So they're asking the little boy. Like how he survived.
Yes.
How did he survive -6 degrees inappropriately dressed?
Yeah.
Okay, this is what he said.
He told us for the past 2 days one of his friends was a bear. And I can only hope that, you know, maybe some bear was there
maybe
with
Mama
him.
Mama Bear was there.
Right, Mama Bear was with him, protecting him.
Bears all got bear claws. Bears live under bear laws.
So,
North Carolina is full of black bears, but this has caused some controversy.
Wouldn't the bears normally eat their children, wouldn't they?
Well, this is what a bear expert from a university, what the hell did they know, said bears don't behave like that.
They don't cuddle
children.
But this
little boy, no, I don't think so. They're supposed to be quite aggressive.
Yeah.
But obviously they're not with their own children,
are they? But their own children are bears. So lions don't eat their own children. Do lions occasionally eat their own?
I think they do.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of nature eats their own. But it's not to say that you couldn't have some bear that finds a little three-year-old boy. Otherwise, how did he survive, Husey?
Well, I don't know. So it's a mystery. Did he cuddle a bear for 2 days or not? No one's sure. He's six,
so
though.
So now what they're saying.
You should be able to believe a six-year-old. If my six-year-old, I'd believe her. If she said she was with a bear, I'd believe her.
I agree.
Mm.
In line with people who tell their children not to believe, are horrified by the notion that God exists, but have no issue with how Christmas presents arrive. these people can't accept that a bear looked after this little boy, but they're now saying that it was Bigfoot.
A Yeti. Did the Yeti look after him?
They're saying
well, we need to put the kid on a polygraph. He needs a polygraph test, so let's just see whether he's lying or not.
Love it.
Oh, great story.
Saved by a bear.
Bears all got bear falls. Bears live under bear laws.
The Husey and Kate catch up.
We're going to be talking about something that happened on Husey. We Have a Problem last night. Channel
well,
10, it is back.
Yeah, well, Kate basically flirting with an Italian chemist. We are going to...
I don't think... asking for help with the medical condition that you had decided that I had constitutes flirting.
Well, look.
You gave me a very unattractive condition and I had to go into an Italian chemist and explain what I had.
Well, the episode is repeated Thursday night, 9:30 on Channel 10, if anyone wants to see what happens there. But also, we Kate is there not alone. She's got her family. Also, producer of the year is with her, Sasha French. Who happens to be single, and that's what we're going to explore
in
after
Bologna.
6 o'clock. What's it like for a single traveller, and is Italy a good spot for a single lady to find love?
Yeah, that's very good.
But before we do that, Katie, we need to have some fun with the facts of life. Not the facts of life, no, with some facts.
Freaky facts.
Freaky facts.
Freaky facts.
Freaky facts of life.
With a child. With a child.
Freaky facts.
Thanks, Michael Jackson.
All right, don't go anywhere.
Thanks, Freaky, Chip.
All right.
Freaky Facts is coming up next.
The Husey and Kate Catch-Up. Back in just a bit. The Husey and Kate Catch-Up.
Time to get some facts of the freaky kind.
It's a super freaky fact.
Thank God that Ulfic was short, so Lily was long.
Well, but it's got to be a lovely introduction to lovely Lily.
Yeah, I think you're almost over egg the pudding, but I reckon Lily would be happy with the intro. Are you happy, Lily, with that?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Good on you, Lily.
Now, Lily, how old are you?
I am 9.
My son is 9, so there you go. And Kate, your son is 9.
My son is 9.
Well, that's a coincidence on Coincidental Wednesday. In fact, 3 9s. What are 3 9s, Lily?
Huh?
What are 3 times 9? 3 times 9. What's 3 times 9?
They're not very good at maths.
Yeah, good. I love your honesty right there. And what, who cares? You can work it out in a calculator. No one actually needs to add up anything anymore.
And shout out to your grade 4 teacher, Lily Elphick.
She hasn't started. Yeah. Are you back at school or is that not till tomorrow?
I'm back at school.
Oh, there you go. Hey, Lily, you love facts.
Yep.
Hey, why wouldn't you? They're fun, aren't they?
Yep.
The world is a wonderful place, isn't it, Lily?
Yep.
Can you believe that Kate right now is in Bologna in Italy? Can you believe that right now? That's where she is.
Yep.
Yep. She can believe it.
I heard her on the radio yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, good on you, Lily. Now, have you been working on some freaky facts that are going to intrigue, astound, and amaze us?
Yep.
Let's go with number
Fantastical.
One. Here we go. Here we go. Fact number one.
Flamingos can only eat when their head is upside down.
Super freaky fact.
Wow.
What? You mean when their head is dipped down?
Yeah, upside down.
Is it?
So they must have very flexible necks. I see them.
Or do they tip their head right back, backwards?
No, I think forwards. Don't they go forwards?
Forwards.
I feel like
upside down.
I think of flamingos with their head down, right down. I didn't realise that when...
Yes.
That's why they would go right down. They must eat fish underwater, do they?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is... I'm going to look at flamingos with new eyes. Kate, will you?
Are you?
I think I will. Absolutely. Now, great fact number two. Let's go, Lily.
Queen Elizabeth's cows slept on waterbeds.
Super freaky fact.
Her cows.
Yeah, it's very true.
No.
Her cows.
I have a bit of info here about it.
Her cows.
What?
Queen Elizabeth
Queen
the what?
Elizabeth.
Which queen?
The queen now, Lily.
Yeah, the second.
The one that we've got.
Yeah, right.
Her cows slept
her
on waterbeds.
Her cows? Well, that's astounding. 165 cows slept on waterbeds.
Yep.
That's incredible.
Why?
Well, she's got a bit of info.
I know he's reading. Can you share it with us?
Well, she wants to look after them. Yep. They just think.
What, her cows?
Yeah.
Sleep on water beds?
Yeah, absolutely.
For starters, who's seen a waterbed since 1982?
I've never slept on a waterbed, I don't think. Maybe one.
I remember my girlfriend Leah got a waterbed.
Did she enjoy it? Well, remember, we've got Lily on the phone with us. So
yes, she loved it.
Good.
It was fun.
That's a great fact, Lily. Bring it home.
Love it, Lily Alfie.
Bring it home, number three.
The smell of books makes some people need to poop.
Super freaky fact.
You know what? I love, Lily, I love...
No, don't.
I love smelling books.
You know, Hughes is a book sniffer. He's a book sniffer, Lily. So anytime he gets a book or a magazine, he sticks his nose right in the middle of it and has a good deep inhale.
Right.
But I haven't asked him what he does afterwards.
I'm definitely...
And nor will I.
I'm regular in that area. Wow. Now I have a Kindle. I'm missing out on my book, aren't I? It's just...
Lily Elphick, why does the smell of books do that? Is it a chemical thing in there?
I'm not so sure, actually.
Yeah, you don't have to know.
Or is it all in the mind?
We're not asking these kids to, you know, do some sort of thesis, some sort of, you know.
No, but it's an amazing discovery that Lily Elphick has made.
Doctorate in their facts. Just give us the facts.
Lily Elphick, what a rich variety of facts you have presented unto us.
You deserve your booty and you're going to get it. What is it?
$200 Athlete's Foot voucher. The Athlete's Foot has the right fit for all kids going back to school. Find your nearest location, theathletesfoot.com.au. Well done, Lily.
Stunning. Thank you.
Yeah, great manners, great facts, great.
Three nines is 27.
It is. Yes. Mm. Took you a while, didn't it?
Took me a while.
The Hughesy and Kate catch up.
Now, Katie, live from Bologna, sounding as sweet as always. Before we get on to what we're going to talk about, which is romance in Italy.
Life is sweet, Hughesy.
Quick quiz for
La
you.
Dolce Vita.
Quick quiz inspired by I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. A couple couple of the celebs in there are American, Richard Reed, who's the gossip guy, you know him, Richard Reed. And
yes,
a woman from Bold and the Beautiful is in there now. Her name escapes me, but she's from Bold and the Beautiful.
Brooke.
Is that her character's name on
Bold and
the Beautiful?
The character. Mm.
Anyways, she's in...
I think she's been on it forever, hasn't she, Sarge?
Quick quiz for you. They're in the jungle right now, dishing dirt. Okay. They have named one talk show host as being not nice off air.
One. Really?
One talk show host... I'll give you two guesses. All right, who is it? Do you think? Not nice.
Well,
off
it won't
air.
Be anyone. It won't be anyone overly powerful because they're too scared. They wouldn't say Oprah. Too scared.
Not Oprah, no.
And they wouldn't say Ellen.
They have said Ellen. Ellen.
Ah!
Ellen DeGeneres.
Have they? I don't think you know. I don't share, and I know I'm swimming against the tide here. I don't share the universal love of Ellen on her show. I just don't. Too much dancing over the coffee table.
Well, I'm not here to critique her show, but off air.
No, but I find, and she talks about being rich a lot. I remember seeing an interview with her and Oprah with each other where they're both talking about how rich they were and how they bought $600 towels. And I'm just like, I don't know.
All right. Well,
interesting. In what way is she not nice?
Well, just, I don't know. She's not nice. I have to watch the show tonight, apparently, to find out more. So, not nice.
However, you can't gauge how someone is to you, do you know what I mean, across the field.
Well, I'm just telling
that might not be how they are across the board.
Give me a tidbit.
Yeah, I love it. I love your tidbit.
We've got a single woman in Italy, and she's not you. She's behind you right now, almost on the floor.
She's next to me. Yes. She's on the floor.
Mm.
She won't sit on a chair. You know, she does a – this is our producer of the year, Sasha French. Who's here with me while we set up the studio here.
Why won't she sit on a chair?
Oh, you know, she's a bit of a martyr. That's why she's worked with us for 18 years.
I'm staying out of the way. Okay.
When we come back, though, I believe she's fired up her Tinder in Bologna and we're going to find out how it's going. What's it like for an Australian?
She tried Bumble first.
No, we'll find out how that's going. Yeah. Find out how it's all going.
Come on, next.
Oh, you're desperate.
Both barrels.
Hughesy and Kate.
The Hughesy and Kate catch up.
Can you just tell us that you want to come home? after asking what we had for lunch.
Yeah, it just made me homesick.
A bit limited, the food over there, is it?
What, you? No, no, it's just, I just like to have lunch with everyone. And
well. Now, you've got Kate, you've got Sash there for a couple of weeks. So she's our producer of the year, won the award.
That's lovely.
2018 producer of the year at the ACRAs Radio Awards.
I made dinner last night for the first time in our apartment with Andrea, our engineer, who's here as well.
Yes, well.
And we had two guests for dinner.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you'll meet other people, hopefully, when they leave and you'll be on your own. So the thing about Sash is that she's single and, here we go.
So she got on Bumble first, which is, you know, the one that gives you within your immediate vicinity.
Right. Yeah, look, I know that they're all got their own things, but before we get to what she's going to do, just let's have a listen to you last night on Husey We Have a Problem on Channel 10, repeated Thursday 9:30, trying to talk to an Italian man because you don't know much Italian, but have a listen to how went. So he was a chemist and you had to try to...
You told me, you gave me on a card what was wrong with me and I had to go into the chemist.
Thrush is what was wrong. This is only a taste of what went on. Here we go.
Speak Italian, he doesn't speak English.
Buongiorno, farmacista. Mi chiamo Caterina.
Buongiorno Caterina, come posso servirla oggi?
Che?
Di che cosa ha bisogno? Cosa accusa?
Cosa accusa? Are you deaf?
That was hilarity ensued. People love that. But that's make-believe. Sasha is real life. Our producer... And you're open to the possibility of finding love in Bologna, aren't you, Sash?
Yes, well, I like the Italian men. I like the way you get a lot of attention over here.
Yes.
I haven't had no luck in Australia, so I'm going to give it a crack over here.
Sash and I got massively ogled crossing the piazza.
By who?
That's not a euphemism. No one's crossed a piazza yet, but hoping.
Well, who ogled? Described?
Just men. They're alive.
Yes.
What do they?
They appreciate us.
And do they they sort of overtly turn as you go past and so you can see?
But
that
not subtle.
Yeah. No, not subtle. When the moon hits your eye, like a big pizza pie, that's the morning.
Have you, so you got your Tinder going as well, is that right?
Yeah, there wasn't a lot around on Bumble. Obviously, Bumble's not as popular in Bologna, but I thought I'd fire up Tinder this morning. And considering it's only 8:20...
And people don't get up
early
here.
I've been having a lot of matches.
Oh,
apparently over 99 matches so far. But
99? Is that from the area that you're in, or is it from a different...
Yes, I put like a 7K radius.
You had 99 matches within 7Ks.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was surprised. 6:30 in the morning, they were...
They look eligible, most of them, or some of them, or half of them?
They're eligible.
Very handsome. Italian men are handsome and very well-dressed.
Yes.
But apparently they're lethal in love.
They don't muck about.
Yeah, so I've been having a conversation with Salvatore.
What has he said? What was his opening gambit, Salvatore?
Ciao, Sasha. Buongiorno.
So Italian.
And also, I'm not very good at the messaging. I'm not a great texter. So
what are you good at? Well, you know, all you ever tell us, all you ever hear from Sasha, she goes, you know I'm no good at compliments. Yesterday Peter went for a walk with her looking for a Pilates class and he came back and he went, she doesn't like to stroll. She walks ahead. She wouldn't walk next to me.
I know. There's many reasons why I'm single. But anyway, I think this English as a second language is going to be good because they don't understand when I'm being boring and...
Well, right. It's maybe, they might think she can't find the words, not that, she doesn't have the words. So
still waters run deep.
Giovanni just sent me a message, but Giovanni. It's in Italian. I don't know what that says. What does it say?
Hang on.
I'd love to hear from a woman who has been on...
Buongiorno, splendida donna. But you know what that means, splendid woman.
That's a big...
Good morning, hello, woman.
I'd love to hear from anyone who...
that's beautiful. Imagine getting that message in Australia, splendid woman.
Have you fired your Tinder up in another country?
131060, ladies.
Good question. What's the best country for Tindering?
Yeah.
131060, firing up your Tinder overseas. Have you done it? We want to hear from you as Sash finds love.
Who's gone the most intrepid, I wonder?
Susie and Kate. The Husey.
Hughesy and Kate catch up.
Have you fired up your dating apps overseas is the question.
Sasha, producer of the year, there with Kate in Bologna right now. Mm-hmm. Like in a couple of hours, you fired up Tinder in Italy, in Bologna, Sasha, and you've had 99 matches.
Oh, over 99. And I have to say the Italian men are much better at messaging first, because in Melbourne, like, you match with all these guys and they just don't talk to you. Where I'm matching with them and they're messaging me here.
They're front footing.
I don't know what they're saying, but they're messaging me.
They're front footing it. Well, that's, as you, yeah, as you say, they're all staring at you on the streets, aren't they? Charlotte, you know about this because what do you do for a job?
So I work as an international flight attendant.
All over. All over? You've got many different routes?
I've been to a lot of different destinations, so I've used Bumble and Tinder a fair few times when I'm over there, just for dating purposes.
Yeah, what else would you use it for? I've no idea. For,
of course.
What else is there to use it
and
for?
And then what? And what? What are the standouts for international Tinder?
I got to say, when you're overseas and coming across as being something, I guess, foreign, it definitely helps.
Yeah, right.
Like, typically, like, you do get a lot of questions in regards to, you know, so you're from Australia. Oh, I love the accent. Where are you from in Australia?
You're exotic.
To them it is. And especially, like, you do get some questions about, like, if we ride on kangaroos, which obviously I say yes.
Yeah, like, you have some fun.
Yes.
Yeah, they're having a joke with you, aren't they? Yep. And being a flight attendant, that would help. I mean, you may not be aware of this, but I think men...
It's got a great image, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
In fact, Charlotte, it's hard to think of another profession, maybe nursing, in which the fantasy is so removed from the reality.
Well, not really.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Like,
100%.
You know. Well, she's, I mean, what do you mean it's fantasies removed from the reality?
Well, in most cases, obviously not in Charlotte's case.
Oh, I don't know what flies you.
It's a hard
job. I'm very lucky that I work for an amazing company. But there is, you know, there are pros and cons to being an international flight attendant, such as you are away a lot. So dating at home is not the easiest.
But it's part of the fantasy that you're going to fly into town for 2 days, you know, every 3 months, and you're going to have some wild times and then fly off and everyone's happy. What country?
Is that your fantasy or Charlotte's?
Well, that's the men's fantasy, I believe. What country do you reckon is the best for your Tinder with your international travels, Charlotte?
It's so hard. I'd have to throw it between probably like Dubai or
LA. LA or Dubai?
Yeah.
So in Dubai, we're thinking that sheikhs are basically, you know, offering you rides on gold-plated camels or something, you know, like some sort of...
There is, but there's a lot of expats there as well.
Yeah, right.
A lot of the time that, you know, I've met a lot of friends over there because you meet and you've got a lot in common because you've just, you know, you're from different parts of the world.
Okay, Charlotte, Sasha French, producer of the year, needs your top tip for dating on Tinder in Europe.
Oh, in Europe. Definitely put down your, like, where you're from. For example, put down your flag or put down something like that.
Idea.
Like, put down your flag, because you can do that as your, like, little emoji thing. Definitely put it down.
Yeah, love it. Put the Australian flag there.
That's
like
a good
idea. Like a green light.
Well, she's going to put the New Zealand flag.
Oh, well, I would like to think whatever you like. Either way, I mean, they won't be able to tell the difference. There's only
and
one star.
And maybe an Italian man will be like when man landed on the moon and he'll put his flag down on Sarge. Hey, no, a giant step
like
for a man.
If you missed any of the show, you can podcast it right now, hizzyandkate.com.au, and we will see you same time, same place tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye, all.
You're all caught up with the Hughesy and Kate catch-up. Want more Hughesy and Kate? Download the Hit app. Want access to exclusive prizes? Become a VIP at hit.com.au.